Well, let's turn to God's Word this morning, and we're studying through Paul's first letter to Timothy. So 1 Timothy in chapter 4. You'll find that on page 1244, if you're using the Pew Bible there in front of you, and we're reading from the New International Version. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'd like to begin our reading from verse 6 here in this chapter. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Gracious Father, we pray now this morning indeed that your word might be beneficial to us, each one, and we may apply it to our own hearts and lives today. We ask this blessing and give you thanks in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. A number of years ago, as Elsie and I were traveling along the road, we had the radio on, and in having the radio on, in this long trip that we were taking, every once in a while, we got a commercial. And the commercial had to do with a special capsule, a special health capsule. And if you took this health capsule regularly over a period of time, it would simply drain the excess fat off your body. Actually, the particular capsule was of such a nature that it attacked the fat chemically in your body. It ate it up. It just dissolved it. It was gone. And so you would have a healthy body if you took these capsules. Well, we listened to this for hour after hour. I mean, on different programs as we were traveling along and so on. And we finally looked at one another because we had some little spare tires here where they shouldn't be. And so he said, well, we better try this. It was guaranteed, and there was a money-back kind of a thing. If it didn't work, you'd get your money back. We can't lose. And so we sent, and we got a big supply of these capsules, and we started popping these capsules. And it was supposed to lose so many pounds, week one, week two, so many more pounds. After 2 weeks, we hadn't lost a single pound. And we said, we've been had. Let's send them back. Let's hope that we get our money back. And the good news is we got our money back. But it was a scheme to get people to buy these capsules in order to get physically fit, but they just didn't work. Well, we went on another tack. And since we relocated, as you know, in our ministry into South Carolina in February, March, and April, why, we began to walk the beach. And we began to go into some exercises. And as we came back this year, lo and behold, we stepped on the scales and we were 10 pounds lighter. It was wonderful. Physical fitness is so important. And the way to physical fitness is through diet and exercise. Let me say that again before I get into the spiritual application. If you're needing physical fitness, diet and exercise. The two must go together. Interestingly, in this particular passage, in respect to spiritual fitness, the same two elements are here. Last week, we talked about having a healthy diet. And this week we talk about the exercise that goes with that healthy diet. Last week, if you remember, we talked about the fact that there were some foods that are harmful to us. And we all know that occasionally we read the stories in the paper of how some people have contracted illness because of something they ate, and in some cases a number of people die before they get it under control. There are some things that we intake spiritually that are devastating, that will destroy our spiritual life. And we noticed some of those things last week. They're called in this passage myths and old wives' fables. And there are so many myths that Satan has out there today that are absolutely devastating to spiritual health. Anything that is contrary to the biblical doctrine are the myths that Satan puts out to deceive people. We noticed also last week there is what I call spiritual junk food. In other words, ways of looking at the Bible or interpreting the Bible that take us off into a dead end, that are of no value whatsoever to building solid spiritual muscle and to make us strong and dynamic Christians. But we noticed also last week that the passage spoke of healthy food, called in this passage the truths of the faith. What are the truths of the faith? The truths of the faith concern Jesus. Who Jesus is, God come in the flesh. The truths of the faith have to do with what Jesus did. He accomplished salvation by the giving of his life upon the cross. He said triumphantly, it's finished, it's done, salvation is provided for mankind. And so the truths of the faith have to do with the incarnation, with the life and death, with resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to the book of Hebrews, for example, the truths of the faith tell us about condemnation, that we're all sinners, and because we're sinners, we're under the judgment of God. The Bible also tells us of God's redemption in Romans through Jesus Christ, which you just mentioned, of how he died upon the cross in respect to our sin. The book of Romans also tells us about justification, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we are declared right by God himself, and we are brought into harmony and to relationship with him. The truths of the faith have not only to do with justification, but it has to do with sanctification, that I should become a holy person, that I should become Christ-like and godly in the way that I live. Not only that I should be declared right by God, but that I should become right in the way that I live, the way that I live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Romans also tells us another one of the great facets of the faith, which is glorification. That is, one day Christ is going to take me out of this mortal body and give me a glorified body. The sinful nature which I have now will be taken away. And he will take me out of this earth, this place of tears and trauma and pain, and take me to a place where there's no tears and no pain and no death. So glorification. These are some of the basic truths of the faith we need to feed upon, and we need to make them a part of our daily lives. So a healthy spiritual diet. This morning, we go into a rigorous spiritual fitness discipline. Just as we have today a whole exercise industry. Do you realize that? When I was a kid, there was no exercise industry, but now there is. All over the place, there are workout places for people to work at keeping physically fit. You turn on your TV and the commercials every once in a while will have to do with some equipment that you may get, that I may get, to help me be physically fit. We have a physically fit fitness industry in our world today. We have people this morning that are rigorously training because the Olympics are coming up. They're watching their diet. They're watching their exercise program in order that they may achieve in the day when they will run the race. So we have a rigorous spiritual fitness discipline that is necessary for us as Christians. Let's look at it in a little more detail, beginning in the second part of verse 7. train yourselves to be godly. Here it is. The call to physical, spiritual fitness, I should say. The call to spiritual fitness. God says, train yourself. Get in a spiritual fitness training program in order that you will be a mature, dynamic, strong, and useful Christian. The word used here, train, is a word from the Greek gymnazo, from which we get our word gymnastic or gymnasium. The exact word brought over Greek into the English language. So he's telling us that we need to get into a spiritual training program in order to be strong as a child of God. Notice the contrast in verses 8 and 9. He says physical training is of some value, but he says godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, God never puts down, of course, physical fitness. It is important. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to keep physically fit. He wants us not to abuse our bodies, because He wants to use us and through our bodies to proclaim His good news. So physical fitness is important. But physical fitness only has a temporal benefit. In other words, it's only for this lifetime. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever. It's only for a brief period of time compared to forever. Physical fitness is important, has to do with bodily health and strength, but it is only for a limited period of time. Oh, how I wish that so many people who are involved in fitness exercise programs will get involved in spiritual fitness programs. Why? Because that is valuable not only for this lifetime, but also forever. I mean, what a greater contrast could you have? Physical fitness for a short time, a lifetime. Spiritual fitness for now and forever. Yes, I said for now. To be physically fit, spiritually fit, has its benefit in this lifetime now. Studies have been made, not by church people, but by secularists, by people who are wanting to know if there's any connection between faith and health. Studies have been made, and I can report on them to you this morning. Some of you have seen the results of them. And they show conclusively that to be a person of faith, generally speaking, gives us a more healthy life right now, here and now. Studies have also been made to show that when we pray for people who are ill, there's a higher percentage of benefit on the part of those who are prayed for. Not only people you know that are prayed for, but studies that have been made when names have been given of people that the prayer does not know, and the studies have shown that those individuals who are prayed for, generally speaking, come through their crisis time at a higher level of success than those who are not prayed for. The secular world today, I think, has clearly shown that spiritual exercise has value here and now, as well as for all eternity. Actually, if a person is spiritually fit, spiritually healthy, that person is not going to abuse their body by what they take into their body, or how they abuse or misuse their body. They're going to carefully regulate their life style in order to have a healthy kind of a life. Also, people who are people of faith, people who are into spiritual fitness, they do not have the same level of anxiety as non-believers have, with all of the bad things that that brings about in our physical lives, in our lives here and now. What I'm saying to you is that spiritual fitness not only has a forever implication, not only pie in the sky, quote unquote, but it has to do with benefits right here and now in this life. Try it. You like it. So there's a tremendous contrast then between physical fitness and spiritual fitness. Don't give up the spiritual fitness program, the physical fitness program, but add to it a spiritual fitness program. program. Now notice in verse 10, he speaks about a conflict here. He says in verse 10, he says, and for this we labor and strive. In other words, to achieve this physical fitness, we labor and strive. Now the word strive here is the word in the Greek text which sounds like agoniz, agoniz. You can obviously see how it comes over into the English as we transliterate it, agonize. So we labor and agonize in order to achieve spiritual fitness. Have you seen people in the gym working out and so on, and what are they lifting these great weights or whatever they're doing, and oh, on their faces is indicated the fact that they're straining the muscles and they're agonizing to achieve the success in that program. Have you seen runners as they're training and running the race, and you see every line of their faces and of their entire bodies agonizing to reach the mark? That's exactly the point here. Spiritual fitness is important. God did not just save you in order that you won't go to hell, my friend. God saved you in order that you can be a healthy, spiritual Christian, that you can be involved in the work of Jesus Christ. But you need to be spiritually fit. So we agonize in connection with this spiritual program. It's hard work. Make no mistake about it. It's hard work. Just like a physical exercise program is a hard work, so spiritual exercise program, fitness program, is hard work. So, for example, you might have some weights like this. And as you're lifting those weights, you know, and as you're doing your various exercises with those weights, why, you may have some agonizing to do, okay, depending on the weights that you're using. So spiritual exercise involves agony. It's not easy, but it's well worth the effort. All right, let's look at the next thing in verses 11 to 16, the process of spiritual fitness. First of all, it has to do with our private life. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you, Timothy. He was about 35 years of age at this point, probably. Apostle Paul was about 65. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. So first of all, spiritual fitness has to do with spiritual character. It has to do with my private life. It has to do with the development of godliness, of Christ-likeness. You'll remember in Galatians chapter 5, and it says the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this results from spending time with God. The fruit is the outcome of life, and it is the fruit of the Spirit which is expressed in these words that are here. And it is not the result so much of my human effort. It is a result of my spiritual effort. The spiritual effort is, Jesus said, John 15, abide in me. Remain in me. Hang in there with me. Keep in touch with me. The biggest single thing that we need to concentrate on in spiritual fitness is being in touch with Jesus, okay? Constantly, daily, momentarily, being in contact with the Lord Jesus. He said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. No branch can produce fruit 15 feet down the grapevine. No branch can produce fruit, a bunch of grapes, unless it's connected, joined to, in touch with the trunk. And so we have to constantly abide, hang in there, keep in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. What takes us out of touch with Him? Sin. How do we get back in touch with Him? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to keep close to the Lord Jesus As we do so, the fruit which God the Holy Spirit can produce through our lives, these things that are mentioned here, speech and conduct in life means conduct and love and faith and purity. These things are a result of keeping in close touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where the emphasis lies. Secondly, you'll notice here, not only our private life is mentioned in verses 11 and 12, but then our public life in verses 13 and 14. Now keep in mind that Timothy was a little different than you or I may be, for example. He was a delegate of the Apostle Paul. He was a missionary worker. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in a broader sense, each one of us are servants of the Lord, ministers of the Lord. So although this particularly has to do with Timothy and some things for Timothy, we can make it relevant to ourselves. What did he tell him? Verse 13, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. Now that was important in those days because hardly anybody had a copy of the Scripture. Today, almost all of us have a copy of the Word of God in our language, in our contemporary language. But in those days, only very few manuscripts, copies of Scripture. And so every time the church gathered, it was important to read sections of the Word of God, and then those sections were commented upon and so on. So that's what he's referring to here, the public reading of Scripture. For us, first of all, there needs to be the public reading of Scripture still in the church, as we've had this morning, and still continues, but it is not as important as it used to be. But what is important is that we are sharing the Word of God with others. How can we share the Word of God? We share the Word of God by passing on the things that God is telling us, how God has blessed us through His Word, something that's become meaningful and helpful to us. We pass on the Word of God as we give away portions of Scripture. I buy Scripture by carton, actually, and give away Scripture all the time. Why do I do that? Because the Word of God is powerful. It is God's Word that changes and transforms lives. I do anything and everything I can to get people into the Word of God. Because as we get people into the Word of God gets in them and changes and transforms their lives. So Paul says to Timothy, make a public reading of the Word of God. Secondly, he speaks about preaching and he speaks about teaching. And we, in an informal manner, can do all of those things. We can share God's Word in personal conversation. We can be involved in evangelistic Bible studies. A good place to have them, by the way, the best place to have those is in your neighborhood and in your workplace. And there you will be able to share God's Word as you are permitted to do so, like in the workplace. But these are the places that hopefully we can share God's Word, each and any of us. I got the email thing that came into the chapel here, passed along to me this week because it was relevant to me in the sense that it had to do with somebody that attended here in the early 1960s. And they were thanking us again for preaching the Word of God, which had changed and transformed their lives. And they were speaking particularly of my father, who had the habit of making little poems. They were acrostics on the letters of people's names, especially his children and family members. He got to know them. And this person who wrote this email was again expressing thanks for this way in which the Word of God was shared to that individual. Be creative. There are many ways that we can preach and teach. There are many ways that we can share God's Word, not in the context of church gatherings like this, but out there where people need to hear and know about the Word of God. So he speaks about his private life. He speaks about his public life and sharing the Word of God in verse 13, and also in developing his spiritual gift, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift. What is he talking about here? He's talking about a spiritual ability that God gives to each and every one of us. You have natural talents. Some of you are so talented in so many ways that I'm not even in touch with, okay? And you have spiritual talents as well. God says, not me. God says every Christian has received a spiritual gift. So one of our great concerns as a young Christian, as a growing Christian, maybe an older one who's never understood this yet, is to find out in what special way has God equipped me that I may serve Him. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that God has given to you. Use it in order to bless and to benefit other people. So public life, share the Word of God. Secondly, do not neglect your spiritual gift. And you folks, each one of us, needs to remember that we are spiritually gifted and we need to discern that gift and to use it to the glory of God. Third thing he mentions here, number one was private life. Second was public life. Verses 15 and 16, he has personal commitment. The whole thing depends on a commitment. The whole thing depends on me sitting down there, hey, I am spiritually out of shape. You know, it's a little bit easier maybe to know that you're physically out of shape. I mean, we got mirrors on the wall, right? And then we got people that tell us, oh, you're looking maybe we don't say that, but how come you don't have the pep that you used to have, or whatever the case might be, okay? And we realize that we're out of physical shape. But it's time to take spiritual inventory. We need to do that occasionally. The beginning of every year is a good time to take spiritual inventory. Where am I at in my Christian life? I've known the Lord for 20 years. I've known the Lord for 5 years. Whatever. How am I doing in my Christian life? Am I spiritually fit, or am I spiritually lazy and lethargic and totally out of shape? So the first thing he talks about is dedication. Verse 15. Notice the first phrases of verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Be diligent in these matters. Second phrase emphasizes, re-emphasizes. Give yourself wholly to them. Two phrases. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. When I was a young Christian, somebody helped me a great deal. A lot of people have helped me along the way, and I thank God for them. One guy said to me, he said, you know, he said, life is determined by three D's. How we're going to do in life is determined by three D's. So I put down a big D, okay? I got it right down on my outline here. First of all, the first D is desire. Desire. What do I desire? You know, what is my passion? What would I like to see happen, okay? That's the first thing. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, one thing have I desired. Hey, that's great. What is your desire in the realm of spiritual things? What is your desire in the realm of your life with God? But desire is not sufficient. After desire comes determination, okay? So one thing have I desired, the psalmist says in Psalm 27 verse 4, this will I seek after. Got it? One thing have I desired, that's what I'm going to pursue. Okay? So many times we don't pursue that which is our desire. Oh, I would like to be. Well, I would hope. Or I want to be. But wouldn't it be great to be? But those are all desires. Those are all expectations without realization until we have determination. So we have a desire, and then we are determined, and that D, third D, is discipline. That leads to discipline. In other words, I gotta do these exercises today, physical exercise. I gotta run that mile, or I gotta walk that 2 miles, or I gotta do those weights, or whatever it may be. I gotta read my Bible. I gotta study this chapter. I've gotta let God speak to me from that passage that I was studying, whatever. I've got to journal this. I've got to share this, whatever the discipline is. So there's desire, determination, that will I seek after, and there is discipline of life that makes it happen. Till you get those three D's, folks, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be out of shape physically or out of shape spiritually until all three D's come together. Desire, determination, and the discipline of life that makes that happen. You know, in sailing, in which I'm not a master by any means, that's for sure, in sailing, it's not the wind the direction of the wind that's important. It is the set of the sail that's important. Okay? It is not the direction of the wind that's important. It is the set of the sail that's important. You may have the wind coming exactly in the opposite direction from which you wish to go. But as you set your sail and tack this way and that way and the other way, you can actually go against the direction from which the wind is blowing. In life, it is not the circumstances, it is not the difficulty, it is not the problems that should determine our life. It is the set of the sail. What am I going to do in this situation? I was just sharing with somebody this week. Share it again and again. When James says in James chapter 1, when we have all kinds of trials and tribulations in which we only rejoice, he says, if we got a problem, if we're confused, if we don't know what end is up, and that's the case many times, we need to pray. And what we need to pray is really important. Listen, we don't pray why. Why, Lord? Why me? We don't pray why. We pray what. What, Lord, do you want me to learn in this situation? What do you want me to do to glorify you in this situation? Or we pray how. How do you want me to handle it? We don't pray why in self-pity. We pray what. We pray how. So it is the set of the sail that determines where we're going to go in life. It is the set of the sail in respect to spiritual discipline, whereby I'm going to be a spiritual pygmy, or I'm going to grow up to be a strong man or woman of God. And that's what you want, and that's what I want. Personal commitment, dedication. Secondly, monitoring. Notice in verse 15, it says, so that everyone may see your progress. Progress! Progress! That's great, isn't it? Not to remain static, but to be moving forward, to be making progress. Well, let's take a look here. Now, I haven't got the first one that we started with. That was only a 2-pounder or a 1-pounder. I mean, that was like a feather. I got through with that pretty quick. But this is a 3-pounder. Okay? I'm making progress. A 3-pounder now. A 3-pounder. But you know, I'm making progress. An 8-pounder. Wow, this is really good now. Hey, 8-pounder. And you know, I'm just about ready to go up to this place where you can take in this and get that, you know, that store up there on top of Long Hill. And I don't know what the next one is, probably a 10-pounder, but here's 13 pounds. Wow, now I gotta agonize a little bit. Now it's a little bit more difficult, but I'm making progress. Set up some monitoring system in your spiritual life so that you can know that you are making progress. How far have I read through the Bible? Which books of the Bible have I studied intensively? What passages of Scripture have I committed to memory? What portions of God's Word do I see that are working out in my life? Okay? We need to be making progress, monitoring. Third thing here is focusing. Notice in 16, watch your life, focus. Watch your life and doctrine closely. And the order is very important. The important thing is not just to learn a lot of Bible doctrine, to learn a lot of the Bible, but the important thing is that that works into our daily lives. That becomes a part of the way that we live. For example, God's Word tells us that no unwholesome talk should come out of our mouths, but only that which is profitable to building people up. Well, that's doctrine. I agree with that. That's true. But how am I doing in that? Am I working that out in my life, or am I still demeaning people? Am I still speaking harshly and unkindly and insensitively, and so on? How is the doctrine working out in my life? My focus needs to be on the fact that the Word of God is becoming a part of the way that I live. The Word of God is being incarnated through my life. That's God's risky plan, by the way. Do you know that? When Jesus was here, God was fully incarnated and displayed and manifest through the life of Jesus. Here's his risky plan. That God will be seen through your life. That God will be seen through my life. The only way it happens is for the Word of God to become incarnated in my life. The final thing he gives us here is persevering. The end of verse 16, persevere in them. Persevere in them. Hang in there. Don't give up. Go on. Pursue it. Keep at it. Persevere. Now, you know, we hear the expression, I put it on your outline here, no pain, no gain. That's true. Physical exercise, physical fitness, no pain, no gain. Spiritual fitness, no pain, no gain. But I want to tell you this. I saw a t-shirt when we were away. I said to Elsie, boy, that's great. I like that. It said, his pain, my gain. Okay? Now that's where it starts. I want to come back to that for any of you that are here this morning. You're just not with us 100% hearing what I've been talking about. The first thing we need to do is to become a part of God's family. And the way we do that is through the pain of Jesus. He took the pain. He took the suffering. He paid the price, but he died upon the cross for my salvation, for your salvation. I simply open my empty hands of faith and receive the benefit and blessing of what Jesus has done. That's salvation. But in sanctification, which means to be spiritually healthy and fit and to be strong in the Lord, to be holy person, to be a holy person, that does indeed require my pain in order for there to be my gain. Alright? So, spiritual fitness, I call you to that this morning through God's Word. And as you are willing to make that decision, yes, I not only desire to be a spiritual man or woman for God, I'm determined to be a spiritual man or woman for God. Here's my discipline of life. Here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to pursue it from this day on. God has spoken to me this morning. And I want to be a spiritual man or woman for God. Remember, no pain, no gain. It's going to cost you something in time. It's going to cost you something in personal effort, in priorities. It's going to cost. It's going to pain. It's going to hurt. But God wants you to be a spiritual man or woman. Let's pray together. And as we do, perhaps some one of you this morning, more than one of you, are saying, yes, I'm spiritually out of shape. I'm spiritually out of shape. And I need to make a change. And this morning I'm prepared to make that change. I not only desire to be the man or woman that God wants me to do, but I'm going to set my sail. I'm going to determine to be that, to do that. I'm going to work out a discipline of life that will enable me to be a man or woman for God. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will realize your desire for us, that we be strong, mature, Christian men and women, that we be not children tossed about and blown about by every wind and doctrine, but we grow up in Christ, that you can use us. You've gifted us. You want to use us. You've equipped us. You want to use us. And Lord, we pray that we might be available and determined and disciplined this morning to let you have your way for your purposes in and through our life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.